Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Happy Monday. This is Dr. Deb, and today I want to talk about America's racism as a spiritual problem. You know, there is a scripture that says that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And as I contemplate that, and when I talk about the spirituality that's connected to our problem or the spiritual nature of the problem of racism, then I realize that one reason why we're not truly free is because we're not telling the truth. We're living lies every day, and these lies are making us more and more enslaved to racism, the thing that we would like to just have go away. And what's so interesting about that is that nothing goes away unless we send it away, unless we do something to eradicate it, unless we change our response to it. Change doesn't happen just without a relationship. Change does not happen just something has to change. Time has to change. Minds have to change. People have to change. Something has to change for change to happen. And so when I talk about racism being a spiritual problem, I think of Dr. King's comment about injustice. He says injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. He speaks to this, to the spiritual nature of injustice. I think racism is that kind of thing. You know, whenever we talk about the residual effects of the African slave trade and then all of the injustices that came after so-called freedom came, when I think about that, and whenever we try to talk about that, you have gay individuals who they want to chime in on that conversation. You have Native or Indigenous people of this land want to chime in on that conversation. You have lots of people who feel like they're being mistreated in one way or another chime in on that conversation. And the reason why is because it is all connected. That's what makes it a spiritual problem. You cannot mistreat one group without mistreating several groups, because the same principle applies. And when we talk about principles, we're talking about spiritual laws. We're talking about things that you don't have to recreate, write a law about it, because it already is in motion. It is already in existence. And so when we talk about the spiritual problem of racism, then we got to talk about our ideas about what it means to be human, to be truly human. We can't tell the truth about any one part without telling the truth about the whole part. For example, when we say race is not a matter of biology, there's only one race, that's the human race. Well, what makes that truth is you can take the heart out of let's say a black woman and put it in an Asian woman. You can take the liver or the kidney, let's say kidney, you can say take the kidney from a white man and put it in an African man. That's because the law at work there is biology. And biology is not racist. Biology is just biology. The heart does what it does no matter what host that has it. And so when you talk now about how you treat people, how you reject or include or exclude people, that's a behavior, that's a way of being, a way of living that will permeate your life, whether you are aware of it or not. And so that makes it a spiritual problem. That makes it a problem, makes it a problem that is bigger than just the material, than just you allowing one person to enter into a domain, let's say college, and telling another person they can't come in. You have to deal with the spirituality of that decision. And we can say both these people deserve to be there. They have the qualifications, but you tell one based on something that you do not appreciate or like or agree with about that one that they can't do it. That's a spiritual problem. That's not a social problem, because what you're doing now is creating a relationship in the world, not just with that person, in the world with how you deal with other people. And then you are creating or facilitating a relationship that that person, that rejected person, has to take into his or her relationship. And so when I talk about America's racism being a spiritual problem, I'm saying that if we want to have a different relationship with everybody, not just the ones in this country, quite honestly, everybody, then we have to change our relationship to the people that are right here, that are right next door, that are right down the street, because it is all connected. And if you could see, let's personify racism. If you could see racism as a cloud that hovers over this country, the effects of it, the residual effects of it, the fallout of it. I can't see a sunny day. I can't see these light, flowy, angelic-looking clouds. I see a gray, heavy, laden cloud that is about to be a storm. If we could personify it, if we could give it a person, if we could give it a space, it is something that takes and not gives. It is something that hurts and not helps. It is a thing that destroys. And if you notice, when it rains, and we're talking the biblical idea of it rains on the just and the unjust. So when it rains, it doesn't choose which flower it will rain on. It doesn't choose which person it will rain on. If two people are standing in the same place and the rain is coming down, the rain is going to hit them both. If we see racism as this cloud that is full of hatred, full of self-loathing, full of lies about superiority, then we have no choice but to live in a kind of bondage, a kind of spiritual bondage that comes with that. And so the only way, and let's talk solution, the only way we can begin to free ourselves and be truly free, because if my systemic ideas hold up, unless we are all free, none of us are free. And if I could channel Dr. Martin Luther King, I'm sure he basically was suggesting that when he said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, because it is all connected. There's no thing that's happening in the world that does not affect some other thing in the world. So, solution, always begin with self-examination. But then I will invite you to think about your spiritual belief system. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. If you pay attention to the most important things to human life, everybody has some idea, some belief in the greater than I am, a God that has different names. But this same God, this same being, the same source entity has this levity, this if we can make this entity a cloud, it is light, it is free, it is flowing, it is clear. You call on whatever entity that you call God, that is love. So many people identify God as love. And invite that space, that person, that being to show you clearly, to impress upon you clearly that you must do something different if you want to continue to live in a place with other people. If you want to truly be free, then you invite your God, whatever you call God by, however you practice that faith tradition, to embody you so that you begin to live up to who you say you are in the spiritual realm. You ever had to carry something heavy, maybe from your garage to your kitchen table or from your garage to your lawn? As soon as you put that thing down, you can tell the difference. You feel a certain amount of freedom. You ever been in a space where you had to do some strenuous exercise, and when you are done, you take a sigh and you have a sense of freedom? Have you ever lost weight, any amount of weight? You can tell the difference between what it was like to carry the extra weight and what it was like to just walk free of it. Racism is a spiritual weight in our lives, in our country, in our world. And we will not be able to get above it, become free of it, until we respond to our bondage that it has imposed on us and that we allow it to impose on us. So whether you are a Muslim or a Christian or somewhere in between or beyond, your spirituality is informing who you are. And if that spirituality is the kind that is good for the common good, for your good and for other good, other people's good, then what you want to do is invited to show you how to live your highest self, the highest principle of that belief. It's a spiritual problem. And even if you don't add God to it or any kind of entity to it, there's a connection between us that is bigger than the two of us. There's a connection, there's a human connection that is at work all the time. A simple smile or a frown carries a message. And you have to ask yourself, which message would you rather carry in you? You have to ask yourself, which message would you want to receive from another human being or even from an animal? And we know we're talking about connection. Which message? And finally, you have to ask yourself, do I really want to be free? Do I want to live in a place where I know there are lies that are being spread about who I am and who others are, but I'm okay with the lie? The scripture says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I invite you to embody what that truth is. I invite you to live what that truth is. And if this country is truly going to be the free country that we want it to be, we will have to do something to make that happen. That happens on the spiritual level. This has been Dr. Deborah, Dr. D, Dr. Deb. Until next time, family, I'll see you at the table.